B-Pod Studios.
This. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
With second down looming from midfield, Matthew Slater taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year, as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
Great job by our team today. Couldn't be prouder of the effort from the coaching staff, players. Had a really good week, obviously ready to go. Played a good game today against a good football team. Chargers are really, as I said, all week, been very impressive in everything they do. And I thought our team played well and made plays in every area and played with a lot of energy, a lot of effort. So it's good to be playing this time of year, good to be able to move on. Give the players credit. They really competed well today. That's what you needed this time of year.
All right, 4:06 in the evening. Felger and Mass here the day after the Patriots beat the Chargers in the divisional round, off to Kansas City for another AFC Championship game. Just resetting our thoughts, we all agree it was their best game of the year, complete game of the year. To me, and I know that these guys, I think, agree, it came down to offensive line. Came to line play on both sides of the ball, frankly. Patriots dominated on both sides of the ball up front. I think that's where it all started. I think coaching was the second big factor, where Tom Brady was just so damn comfortable against that scheme. So comfortable from the first drive. And, you know, he had to work a little bit on that first drive. Got put in some third down situations because they ran the ball for no gain on that first drive. And so Brady had to go up on third down. But really after that, wasn't even really contested that much because he knew what was coming. He knew what was coming with that Gus Bradley cover three defense, which Seattle runs, Atlanta runs. He's seen it a bunch. And the Chargers did nothing to adjust, not before the game, not during the game. And so I think scheme-wise, the Charger players were at a huge disadvantage. Huge. And Brady took advantage, so good for him. And the line play, again, the number I keep going back to, Phillip Rivers was pressured 70% of the time he dropped back in the first half. 70%. Where Brady wasn't touched. Brady was not touched in the first half. And obviously the running lanes and the push the offensive line got for Michelle in the running game were self-evident as well. So I just think that's where the game was won, up front on both sides of the ball. And coaching, that's it. That's it for me. And Brady played brilliantly, but I think he was really comfortable. And that's, you know, he was able to step into every throw. There was no middle pressure. He was able to go to his running backs and Edelman. And that's where he gets in his rhythm and his happy zone. And the Chargers let him go there. And so he went there and that.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm discrediting what they did. That's their most impressive win of the year. That's a real team that they played. That Chargers team had two of the more impressive wins on the road this year. Kansas City at Pittsburgh coming back in those games. But I was just shocked to see that they didn't. The Chargers refused to make any in-game adjustments on both sides. And even offensively, as much pressure as Phillip Rivers was facing early in that game, quick slants, screens, something to neutralize that pass rush.
Good point.
You saw nothing like that. And then defensively, they played Tom Brady like he was Lamar Jackson. Like, you know, you're not. Of course he's going to carve up when you're playing cover three. Have you not watched tape before? That just kind of stunned me.
And to me, that was the bigger sin, because that's where the game got away from the Chargers, was on their defensive side. You know, it's one thing to come into a playoff game on the road. Like, you might sputter a little offensively in the early part of that game. You probably are going to. I mean, really, you're not going to come in and all of a sudden be up 28-7. But the other side of it, to not change it up, play zone against Brady and get shredded the way they did. I mean, that's
just
stupid.
He got what you deserve.
Yeah, well, from that standpoint. And to your point about the third downs, the Patriots in the first half held the ball for more than 20 minutes. 20 minutes, 11 seconds. They ran 47 plays. Six of them were third downs. Six. And they converted five of them. I mean, it was like...
And the first time San Diego then stopped you, you punt and they fumble. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was really incredible. I mean, it was as thorough an ass-kicking, as dominating a physical performance as you will see by the Patriots' offensive line.
It's just so tremendous. The players are positioned to succeed, and they did, man. They did. Yeah, it is stunning, though. Like, when you listen to the guys, again, who cover the team around here and do the X's and O's stuff, whether it's Phil Perry or Bedard or Kern, these guys, you know, They know the X's and O's. They say, going into the game, they said Brady has always attacked this scheme by throwing to running backs and Edelman. Running backs, Edelman. Look at, you know, even going back to against Seattle, was it Shane Vereen?
Yes, Shane Vereen in that game, correct.
Who had a big game in the passing game.
He had 10 or 11 catches.
Right. So, like, even going back, so, again, Gus Bradley's the D coordinator in San Diego, in L.A. there, and he was the defensive coordinator with Seattle in that Super Bowl, and then he was the D coordinator in Atlanta for that Super Bowl. And the way Brady's always attacked that is running backs and Edelman. Okay? Running backs and Edelman, and then Perry and Bedard and all these guys gave us all the numbers. Vereen had 10 catches for blah, 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 and Edelman had this many catches for blah, 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 and James White torched Atlanta and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it got a little X and O-y for me, so it sort of goes over my head. But it's like, if Phil Perry knows that Tom Brady's going to throw to the running backs against that scheme, how does Gus Bradley not have a whiff that?
Yeah, clueless.
On the first series, how many balls did he throw to James White?
Five.
Five for five. And it's like,
he went 7 for 9 on the drive, and all seven of the completions were to Edelman, White, or Sony Michel.
Right. So it's like the coaching. You were at the San Diego players were at a massive scheme disadvantage, massive.
And in 2014, Vereen was 11 catches on 12 targets.
So that's always what's happened, and it's like, boy, did some of these coaches not go back and just look at your notes? I don't know. I go back and look at it.
I mean, I look at it and say, they must not have thought that they would lose that way. You follow me? In other words, they must have said, like Vereen in that game, again, going back to the Super Bowl against Seattle, 11 catches and 12 targets, and that game went right down to the wire. So this game, like, well, we don't have to. They're not going to beat us doing that. Wrong. Idiots.
All right, back to your reaction. Ron in Rhode Island. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you, Phil? Listen, I got a concern, and I wonder how you gentlemen feel about this. We're having trouble getting points in the second half. We're getting field goals. We're not getting the ball in the end zone. You get 28 points in the first half, and in the second half, you come in, you kind of, you know, fizzle a little bit and get San Diego back, the Chargers a little bit back in the game. You can't do that against Kansas City. So my question to you guys, what do you feel about our second half performance?
Okay, Ron, thanks for the call.
They don't call me Big Jim Worry for nothing. But my friend, you are worried about completely nothing there. They took their foot off the gas. They don't want to show their hand for their next opponent that they take
exactly.
on in Kansas City next week.
Like,
I have no problem with the way that they played offensively in the second half.
Didn't they start using Cordell Patterson in the second half?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's when you know. Over. Anything that happened after halftime is anything after that fumbled punt.
Right. It was moot. It
frankly,
really was.
Honestly.
It was.
After they replayed the punt and the Pats got it. Like, really, I swear to God. That was the last note in my notebook.
No, I stopped.
That's where the cutoff is.
That was the last note in my notebook. It is. That was it. And then I put my pen down and put the notebook in my back pocket. It doesn't matter what happened after that.
No, really I doesn't. Stopped. As soon as that Patriots get ready to punt, I said, well, geez, I think I texted you guys, right? If San Diego scores here and gets the ball back and scores again, it's 28-21. And then Numbnuts back there fumbled the punt, and that was the end of that. And the Patriots recovered on the sideline and texted in, or it could be 35-7 at halftime, which is what it was. And that was it. It was over.
So the Pats put their game plan in the holster in the second half, and no. But he's right about 60 minutes against Kansas City, I think. I don't know. Kansas City played a 60-minute ball game. When you played them here, you had to go 60 minutes. Kansas City didn't quit in that game. So you know Bill's going to hammer that this week.
Oh, no. You can't. I mean, again, I don't think that this was a case of them not playing the 60 minutes. I think they just went in to bleed the clock and kill the game and do the end of that and move on to next week.
Carrie in Attleboro. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I was just wondering, is it a fundamental of football that you put 11 men on the field? What was that thing that they pulled off with 10 men? You know where a game can be pivotal on just one call, like in the Eagles game? Where were their heads then? Okay. You can comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry.
It's another good point. I mean, it was a first touchdown, right? They had 10 guys on the field.
10.
So the Patriots, you know, you come out for the divisional playoff in Foxborough. You don't cover James White. You don't cover Julian Edelman.
You can't get your plays in time, or the quarterback can't beat the... Two delay of games and a third timeout to stave off another delay of game, all in the first half.
The two delay of games were in the first 20 minutes. One was in the first quarter and the other was in the first 5 minutes of the second. So two delay of games and 10 men on the field, and now you're down 28-7. Thanks for coming.
10 men on the field on the first touchdown.
I mean, really.
Coaching.
Mind-numbing.
Absolutely coaching.
Now, again, all of that said, like, because San Diego just, you know, they were lost there. They just got completely run over. The Patriots had just about everything to do with it. They steamrolled them. They absolutely rolled them.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts, and also I want to touch back on the edge the Patriots had coming off the field, the chip on their shoulder they had coming off the field, and how it's serving them well again. There's another example of it in Bill Belichick's post-game press conference, and our friend here, the big boy, didn't fare too well in this. We'll get right back to that after these words.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, did you have a good feeling coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs? Or were you
prepared? I've been doing it all year. They did it against us last year.
I mean, were you prepared for them to put more linebackers on the field at any point if you guys kept running the ball like you were?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Questions? Poor big fella. Totally legit football question. Nothing wrong with the question.
I mean, the only thing missing from Belichick's audio was a ugh at the end. Like,
so the very end doesn't quite do it justice, but if you watched it. I watched it live and I was like, oh. At the very end there, Bill, he says, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they do.
He says, he sort of looked to the side with this look on his puss, like, this effing A-hole. Freaking idiot. It's just, that was the look on his face. He just, for a legit question, you know, X and O, 6-7 defensive backs, run against it. If you went linebacker, were you prepared to adjust to that?
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what they do, you idiot. Don't you watch the film? I was like, whoa, like, where did that come from? And then it occurred to me, the big boy last Tuesday gave us a hell of a good quote about him losing faith in Bill Belichick. Remember this?
Yes.
Where we talked about the coaching advantage he has over Anthony Lynn. He says, it's not what it was in the past. I lost faith. I lost faith in the Super Bowl last year. I lost faith in the Super Bowl the year before. I lost faith in some of these big games. So, yeah. And, of course, we helped it. We played the crap out of it. Like, 4 times a day, 3 days after that.
And piecing clips together.
In one of those viewings, it was not edited. In one of, maybe, you know, so like...
There was hemming and hawing taken out.
Well, right, we took away the lip smacking, but we didn't edit any words into it. We don't do that to him.
But, not to him.
So like I said, you know, last week, one guy wrote that Brady's old. A couple of us picked the Chargers. I say a couple. Like, it was only a... You know, 20%, I don't know. The Pats were 4-point favorites. So that tells you most everybody was on the Patriots. A few of us were on the Chargers. And Bedard said something about losing some faith in Bill. And do they cure all that and turn all that around and use it? Because it feels that way when they're coming off the field.
Of course they do. Yes. And look, you know, in Greg's defense, like, Bill, do you understand what happened in the Super Bowl last year?
Bedard did nothing wrong.
And you got out-coached in the AFC Championship game.
The Pats just have their backs up, which is good.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Bill likes to do it to his players, right? Sharpens their focus. So now someone does it to him, and he doesn't like it. And I would say that it showed on all levels that the Patriots were motivated for this game and focused. So, like, get over it, you big baby. But there's,
you know,
no...
On one hand, I say, get over it, you big baby. On the other hand, I say, go use it.
Use it.
Yeah, right. Because it's obviously working.
Go use it. Go ahead. Feel it. Get that chip on your shoulder. Get that thing going. Go ahead. Do it. It serves you well.
Oh, there's no question he heard it or someone relayed it to him.
He says, yeah, it's what they do.
That's what they do, film boy.
Do you watch the film? I know you do, Mr. Football.
Greg.
I don't know what to tell you.
Surprised he didn't call him Gregory.
F-ing
Beal and I, Beal and I were watching it real time in the post game. We're like, whoa!
Where did that come from? That wasn't a dumb question. That was just a normal X and O question.
Yeah, that's what they do.
What they do, doofus.
I'm surprised he didn't shoot a snot rocket at him.
Yeah, it's what they do. And how do you like my game plans now, Greg? All right. Anyway, back to the phones. Billy in Rhode Island. Hi, William.
Hello there, Felga. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Quick comment. We all saw a team yesterday that we never saw this year. It was a mind blower. I mean, it wasn't them. It was like the Bears playing against us with Grogan. But here's my comment. I'm so confused. I'm wondering if the Chiefs aren't going to be confused about how they're going to defend them, how they're going to go offense against them. Because I tell you, they got two teams to look at now. We're using a lot of running backs. I think it's going to be difficult to really plan this game against them. I really do.
Because the Pats have given them too much to look at, too much to defend?
Well, I don't know if they've given them too much. Like, I look at it more from the standpoint of,
to me, it's not that complicated.
Kansas City lost to you here, and now you just played a great game. If you had any thoughts of them taking you lightly, it isn't going to happen.
So, and it's not just that. I mean, to me, it starts with Brady. If I'm playing the Patriots and they're handing off to Sony Michel, I consider that a win. I really do. Go ahead, hand off. And you say, well, how'd that work for the Chargers? Well, Brady passed all over them. Brady diced them. If you take away the passing game, and I'm not saying that Casey can take away the passing game. I'm just saying if Brady didn't have his way through the air, the Pats aren't putting up half what they put up. So I'm selling out to get Brady off. If I'm Kansas City, I'm selling out to get Brady off the spot and out of his comfort zone. I'm covering the freaking running back. I'm starting with the running back and the slot receiver. And any pressure I'm sending, it's up the middle. And I'm trying to get him off his game. And if they want to run the ball on us, let him run. But so to me, it's still not that complicated.
No, I mean, that's a place you got to start, especially with Kansas City's offense. They'll let you run all day. And you know what? I'm not even sure the time of possession concerns them all that much because they can score fast. Again, when they were here in the regular season, 31 points in 10 minutes in the second half. Like, mathematically, that's a field goal a minute. Like, you wouldn't think that is mathematically possible.
But overall, it's fair to say the Pats have a lot to defend. You come out of that game, you say there's a lot, you know, there's a lot on the plate. But if I'm an opponent, I don't overthink it. Start with Brady and getting him uncomfortable. Starts there. Anthony on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing? Yeah, when you guys came back from your month-long vacation with the Everything Sucks show, I called and said, hey, pump the brakes. This team's got a first-round bye. They haven't played their best football. They're fully healthy. Felger, you question the fact they could flip the switch. Murray said it was a fake injury report. They're not really healthy, and Maz completely dismissed it. Then on Friday, the big unveil of Maz's pick. Why? Because they're healthy coming off a bye. I mean, that was so weaselly. But I got a scorcher for you with Belichick, and I can't believe I'm saying this because nobody was more critical after benching Malcolm Butler last year. And I forgive him, but I will never forget, put it that way. But guess what? Bill Belichick put his foot down. He said, you're either with us or you're gone. You do it my way or you're the hell out of here. And he got his troops back in line. Nobody ever has in history had that power better than Belichick.
So, Anthony, it's a nice story. It's a nice story, dude, except they brought in Josh Gordon. They let him show up late, and they were fine with it. It took the league to step in to suspend the kid. So it's not like the Pats, you know, Bill put it, either you do it my way or you're gone. No, Josh was late. They had to have a personal handler follow him around. He was off the reservation, and they let him get away with it until he failed a drug test or didn't show up for one or whatever the hell happened. So, sorry. Nope. Malcolm Butler did something a little, I think, off the grid. That was the final straw. He said something else in there that, the flip the switch team. That is true. I did not think that they were a flip the switch team. I said that all last week, and I think I'm justified in saying that. That's not their history. Their history is when they play well in December, they fly into the playoffs, and they're home, and they take care of business. And when there's something less than that, you know, they've never been a wild card team that's gone on one of those runs. When they've gone on the road, they've lost. Their last three road AFC Championship games, they've lost. So, you know, and all those years, 06 and the 2 years in Denver, They were less than stellar in the regular season, and it got to the playoffs, and it caught up to them. They didn't flip any switch. They got on the road and lost. So that's why I didn't think they were going to give me what they gave me yesterday. Because typically, they lost two games in December. That's not something that they're not playing possum. They want to win those December games
in brutal fashion.
Oh, and now they're going. And now I shouldn't say going to. Now they are paying the price for it.
Well, okay, but we'll see. If they flip the quote unquote flip the switch this year, that's an aberration. That's not how they typically do it.
Yeah, but when I say paying the price for it, the game's in Kansas City. So the task is now tougher as a result of it. They might still win. I'm not saying they won't win. I'm just saying that.
When are you announcing your pick?
Friday.
Okay.
It's coming Friday.
I'll tell Hook to tell the people over at Channel 7.
Because they've been staking out here. Now they're going to have to stand outside there for a week.
Yeah, no. It's going to be cold this week. I would tell those guys, stay warm. Just come in on Friday morning. We'll see you on Friday. We'll get Zoe to bring both helmets in again. We'll make the pick on Friday.
Okay, good.
But you now I know Bill dismisses the home field advantage as worthless. But you tell me, would he rather be playing the game in Foxborough or Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so.
Murray, so that those games in Miami and Pittsburgh cost them.
Murray, who do you got this week?
Kansas City.
Are you going to change your mind out of spite because you hate us?
Nope, I am.
That's
not.
That's it?
No, I am in on Kansas City.
That's it?
Yeah, no, because I'm dug in on this team not making the Super Bowl, and the bigger sample size is that they sucked on the road this year, and as good as they were yesterday, it's just one game.
Okay, much more.
If we beat and badger you, Murray, you'll change the pick out of spite.
Spite pick. All right, much more on Kansas City this whole week. We got all week to talk about Kansas City. We're really going over everything from yesterday. Your thoughts on that? We continue with, did anything settle the running, this great ongoing running back debate? Did anything, was anything settled yesterday? We'll get right back to that after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady with a give to Sonny Michel, stretching to the right. Finds an opening, runs past, to the 45-40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15-10. Tracked down from behind by Derwin James. The saving play is made, but it's first and goal to go at the Charger 9.
Look at the bob and weave, the up, and he gets inside. And it's a doopsie-doo inside, and it's Devlin with the square off, but Gronkowski in motion, he leans to the right side, and the patience for the rookie to pop a 40-yarder, but the way he weaves through the coverage down the field, phenomenal run by Sonny Michel.
Talk about that 40-yard run that you had, I think it was in the third quarter.
40-yard run, all caused by all the great blocking that happened from the offensive linemen, the receivers doing their job. And it was a wide open hole. Anybody could have ran through it.
Again, that last part, I wanted to make sure to write it down before. Anybody could have ran through it. He's saying anyone could have done it.
Yeah, like Rex Burkhead.
Come on.
Sure.
It is true. As soon as they gave it to someone else, he did the exact same thing.
I mean, Rex Burkhead on that touchdown run looked like
Gale
Sayers.
Yeah. Just like poop through a goose. So you're saying...
I'd love to run behind a line like that.
Really doesn't matter who it is carrying it. If the line blocks and it's there, you're basically going to get it.
I mean, Damian Williams got 125 for Kansas City over the weekend.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Exactly. He was a backup to Jay Ajayi in Miami. The Chiefs picked him up and plugged him in for Kareem Hunt.
That's not even the most impressive guy of the weekend. The most impressive guy this weekend was some fat guy who I didn't even know was still in the league. This 40-year-old fat dude all of a sudden starts carrying the ball for the Rams. I'm like, who's that?
Do you remember him in Denver?
Yes, of course I do. CJ... Yeah, he tore the Patriots a new one in that Brock Osweiler game in 2015.
CJ Anderson, I'm like, did he eat no Sean Moreno? Like, he got freaking huge.
No, he doubled himself.
That fat dump runs for how many yards? And the kid in Kansas City, so it's like, so wait a minute. Again, I just want to make sure I wrote it down properly. Anybody
could. And it was a wide open hole. Anybody could have ran through it.
Okay. Okay, I'm just going to, anybody could do it, is basically what he's saying. He's saying anyone could do it. Okay, got it. Anyone could do it.
C.J. Anderson is huge. He is huge. He's a whale. Did you see him? And he ran for a buck in a corner.
Murray, does Michelle's yesterday prove anything? Michelle's day yesterday prove anything to you?
Yeah, that he was worth the first pick that they used on him. Yeah. I mean, for his first playoff game, when the man to my right said he wouldn't make it through the game because he'd get hurt. And I'm not even going to get into the yardage because I know, don't bring up yardage, Murray. I will bring up the yards per carry, which were almost 5.5. And they were important because he was better in short yardage. He showed good vision. He was knocking guys over, which he was doing towards the end of the year. He ran hard. So, yes, back lives matter, everyone. And I think yesterday proved that. The weekend proved that, in fact.
He did run hard. I mean, look, playoff games are physical. I thought he ran hard. I thought he withstood all of that very, very well. I was particularly impressed with the breakaway speed on that 40-yard run. I mean, once he got into the open, man, there's just no catching him.
Anybody could do it. Well, maybe other guys would actually have scored.
Yeah.
To me, it proves nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. The weekend just proves my point, in fact, that the one team that's really built, the one offense that's truly built around their running game, and don't tell me the Rams are built around their running game. They ran the crap out of the ball, but McVay's scheme, which again is good, is multiple and it's balanced and it's motion and getting guys open and getting the quarterback out of the pocket and deep cross. It's about everything. And the running game's a part of it. I'm not telling you it's useless, but it's not. They're not built around the run. The one team that's built around the run and their running back is Dallas. And when you watch that Dallas offense versus the Rams offense, it's like you're watching one team that's in a time warp and another team that's in the modern era. And until Dallas gets off of this thing about feeding the running back, they're porked. They're porked.
Yeah, Saturday night, not a good look for the kid over here, who, of course, is a big proponent of the running backs. That wasn't great.
So, to me, all the running backs that, you know, the Kamara and Ingram and Michelle and even Gurley and this, I think they're all products of their systems and their quarterbacks behind them. I think it all starts with that. I do. And Michelle's a nice player. He's fine. He's good. I think Stephen Ridley could have done it. I think I'll give you dozens, hundreds of guys who could have done what he did. In fairness, I will say, though, I did notice, boy, the Chargers running backs early in that game missed some big holes. There was a pitch. Is 30 the other running back
Eckler,
there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, was there a cut. And again, maybe because I was there and you can just see it a little bit better when you're there. There was an inside pitch to him where he went to the edge and there was a cutback up the middle that he would have. It was wide open and he missed the cutback. And then I thought there was a play with Melvin Gordon who had an easy kick out for a big gain around the edge, and he went inside. And so those guys missed some holes, and I said, how do you not see that hole? So maybe it's not as easy as I'm portraying it. But when I see, who's a kid in Kansas City? I don't even pay attention.
Damian Williams.
And the fat dump, the 40-year-old fat dump in the Rams, I certainly did notice.
C.J. Anderson.
He's not even 30.
So
he's huge. What happened to him?
So again,
he used to be lean. He's a cow.
No, he was always a bowling ball. He's like Maurice Jones-Drew.
No, like no, not like guy. That. Oh, he was God. Not like yes, not like over the weekend.
Holy moly,
he's gigantic. He looks like he ate the footballs before the game. Seriously, he went to fill up his tires and swallowed the air hose. That guy's huge,
and he was all over the place. So you think it has a little something to do with the scheme and the line blocking? Certainly was the case yesterday, but I agree with Michelle. Anybody could do it. Absolutely anybody could do it. It is interesting. Did you know? Here, tell me what you can tell me about this. I'm going to give you the top four scoring offenses in football.
Okay.
Number one, Kansas City. Number two, L.A. Rams. Number three, New Orleans Saints. Number four, New England Patriots.
Okay. What's your question?
They're all in the conference title game. Not a question.
Ooh.
The top four scoring offenses. And the Patriots are fourth, and there's a little gap. Like they're a distant fourth. KC is 35 points a game. The Rams just under 33 points a game. New Orleans 31.5. The Patriots 27.3. So there's a little bit of a gap there between New Orleans and New England. But the top four scoring offenses are still alive. Interesting, right? It's also the first and second seed, which is another huge trend in the league where it's just ones and twos, ones and twos, ones and twos, ones and twos.
Well, to me, that goes back more to the offense than because how do you get home field? You outscore everybody.
But the top, I'll give you the top scoring offenses. Kansas City, LA Rams, New Orleans, New England, that's top four. Number five was Indy. They played yesterday. A tie for sixth, Chargers. They played yesterday. Seattle, lost the week before. Pittsburgh, ha, 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 the one team that chokes it away, but they're in there. Chicago was ninth. So it's like, you know, I know you think Chicago's defense. They were a top 10 scoring offense. It's about the offenses. Dallas was 22nd. Their offense just isn't good enough. Too much running back.
Well, it got better after they got Cooper.
Sure did. Absolutely. And what does that mean? It's passing game player. Too running back dependent. And LA's not, for all that they ran, they do everything. That team does everything, man. And certainly the Rams, certainly the Saints and the Patriots do now as well. They're balanced. There's a nice balance there. But it's just interesting. It has become all offense.
Just to amplify that point, the conference title game matchups were played during the regular season. The Saints beat the Rams 45-35, and the game here was 43-40.
Good point.
I mean, everything is screaming for shootouts this weekend. Right? I mean, now Kansas City's going to be cold. The other game's going to be indoors, though. So that I have a hard time believing you're not going to see 60 points in that game.
We continue with your reaction. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you just speak to the sustained challenges that it takes to get eight consecutive teams to this stage of the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't really care about that right now. I'm worried about this team and what this team has done. This team's worked hard all year to put itself in position to compete for the AFC Championship, and obviously against a great team in Kansas City. So that's really what we're focused on. Whatever happened last year or some other year, you know, whatever it is, it's all in the books. This team's got a lot in front of it, and that's really what we're going to focus on is what this game can do.
Bill Belichick in the post game last night. Why'd that make you chuckle, Murray?
Well, because... Yeah, well, for a couple of reasons. One, because I find it a tiny bit disingenuous, because for him to just be like, whatever, like, I can't be bothered with making eight straight AFC Championship games, which is historic and will never be matched again, because the league is not designed for this to happen, this sustained success of near 20 years. I find it a little bit disingenuous because he obviously cares about history. He does. He's a master of history in football. Again, his boat is named, what, six rings? Seven rings, whatever the hell it is? Like, he obviously cares about the legacy. So I do find it funny on the other end. And the other thing is just to hear that number is ridiculous. And there is part of me, too, that I feel like, on the one hand, he does care, and the other, it is, he's almost bothered by it. Like, whatever. I gotta prepare for next week now. Like, enough with your stupid questions about eight straight AFC Championship games.
It's stupid.
I mean, it is. It's ridiculous.
It's stupid.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, this is one of those runs that we are going to look back on and say...
It's bananas. It'll never happen again.
Right. It's the equivalent of, you know, and these are loose translations, okay, because different eras in history. But the Celtics winning all those titles with the competition, or UCLA, go, you know, 10 straight, like 8 straight conference championship games?
I think this betters them. I mean...
You mean because of the level of competition now and the number of teams?
No. Well, maybe that, Maz, you should, because again... Sorry, Celtics fans, but 14 of those, however many banners, were against 6'4" centers named Dolph with belts and knee pads. Okay, doesn't count. You beat the Fort Wayne Pistons in the 18th NBA. Congratulations, you beat the Tri-City Riverhawks in 59. Okay, don't count. If you're counting those, I'm counting the Packer championships from the 30s under Curly Lambeau. All right, so... So, yes, the competition's much better, but that's not, to me, it's the length. How long was Russell's run? 59 to 69.
10 out of 11, yeah. They won 10 out of 11 with him.
But it was?
11 years.
Okay, 11. Again, Lombardi's Packers, 9, 8 or 9. Name the dynasty. 18 years? Going on 19, 20? I mean, No one did that. The UCLA run, how long was that?
10 national titles in a row.
It was?
Yeah.
They won 10 in a row?
I think they won 10 in a row. I'll double check it, but I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
10 straight with Wooden. I mean, they had Kareem and Bill Walton back to back.
That's pretty good. But I don't know, did it last 20 years? Did Wooden hang in there for 20 years?
And considering how the league is structured, free agency, the stupid rule changes that have been going on nonstop since this run of dominance, going back almost 15 years now, they've sustained it like this.
I mean, I was talking just about the 8 in a row. But, like, if you want to expand it to you know, the stat you gave earlier, take out O.A. because he didn't play. Brady's 17 years as a starter? This is stupid. 13 conference championship games.
13. Only four times did he not make this game.
So like I said, I just find that response kind of funny. Because I know if I was that, I'd be like, oh, hold on a sec. Zip. FUD. Oh, there's your answer.
Don't flatter yourself. I don't know about the FUD part.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's all nest, no bird.
It'd be more like a...
Is that Jimmy Snuka?
But so it is just, I mean, in all of the history of sport, I mean, I'm just trying to think, who did it for 20 years? There's teams who did it for 10 decades. Again, the Niners are close. The Niners started in 80.
Yeah, not like this, though.
No, like this. They won 5 Super Bowls. So they started in 81. Their last was 94. And then they were still going to conference title games in 95, 90. You know, Mariucci, I think, took them to one, maybe, conference title game.
I think that's right.
So, no, the Niners were like this. And I think just recently you've kind of bumped past them. But no, when you look at it, conference title games, division championships, Super Bowl wins, their difference is that they only went to 5 Super Bowls. They won them all. They didn't lose one till the Harbaugh, you know, but that was past that run. In that run from 81 to 95, 96, whatever you want to draw the line, they only went to 5, you've been to 8. But pretty much every other number is really close when you look at it. Division titles, conference championship games, all of that. The length of it. There's no one, I mean, I'm sure a hockey historian maybe could put together the Canadiens.
Oh, that doesn't count either.
Four teams.
That doesn't count either.
It's like, right, it's like saying BU's run at the beanpot. Doesn't count. No, that's not. It has to be a real league.
Plus, they had territorial rights to all the players.
Oh, why'd I say 4? 6. Either way, 6. Same thing. 6.
Can I just hear the beginning of that real quick again? Because I love it. 8 straight AFC championship games.
Can you just speak to the sustained challenges that it takes to get 8 consecutive teams to this stage of the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't really.
So I'll tell you that I don't know.
Stage of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been around it more than I have. So you tell me. But
I love how you say this.
You have.
Who are you talking about, Bill?
I said you've been around him longer than I have.
I haven't talked to him in maybe 15 years.
It's still, the statement is true.
I've maybe passed him 3 or 4 times on Nantucket, and I'm telling you, he either doesn't know me anymore or
refuses. Yeah, that's what they do.
Is looking to spit on me.
Refuses so, to acknowledge like, your resistance.
I don't know a thing about the man.
I didn't. No. You know something about the man.
You say this all the time. I have some sort of special insight into Bill.
You have some insight into Bill. Okay. I have none.
Go ahead.
All I said was you've been around him more than I have.
A long time ago.
Okay, still fact. So that like I hear him talk over the last couple of days. He won't engage any talk on the individual accomplishments yesterday. Won't go there. You know, what about the offensive line? Well, yeah, we get a lot of performances from a lot of different guys. What about Michelle? Well, yeah, we get a lot of performances. Yeah. You know, we got what about the dynasty? You know what I think right now? He's got them. They've bought in. He's got them all focused. He's not going to take his eye off the ball. He's got them all right now. After that performance yesterday, how do you come to any other conclusion? With the level of focus that they showed in that game yesterday, he's got them. He's got them in the palm of his hand, for crying out loud. The last thing he's going to do is take a question from Bedard about a game plan and give him a legit answer. He's going to shoot a snot rocket at him, but for crying out loud.
I don't think that's it. He answered other questions. I think
Yeah, that's what they do.
I think he was pissed at Bedard for something else. Maybe it was the stuff he said on our show last week. I don't know. Maybe it was something else Bedard wrote. But I think Bill was a little pissed at Bedard.
We'll have to ask the big boy in person tomorrow.
We'll definitely.
Yeah.
We'll definitely do that tomorrow. But after all this winning, and again, I don't like the Niners are a legit comp. I don't know if I can find another one in any sport. I mean, really. Did UCLA last 20 years? Maybe I got to look at that. And the original six hockey stuff doesn't matter. There's six freaking teams. Okay? And as you said, they were gifted the best French-Canadian player every year by those regional rights. Not quite fair when they got Maurice Richard.
I mean, seriously, it was like the biggest scam going.
Yeah, totally.
And it's like the mob was running the thing, for crying out loud.
Guy Lafleur, I think, too. But either way, I mean, I can't find another comp. So the winning is just... And I'm with Murray. This, I think, we'll never see. I think some of the individual records will fall because there's always someone to come take those individual records. But the team winning records, 13 conference title games in 17 years, or 8 Super Bowl appearances in a 18-year stretch, whatever it is. Like, I think that's that, because I don't think that the modern athlete, the modern human being, is conditioned to hang in there that long. You know, guys get old, or they get tired, or they lose their motivation, or they lose their focus, or things intervene. And it's just, once you've won and you've accomplished it and you've gone to the top of the mountain, it's hard to stay up there, or the work it takes to stay, or all that stuff. Like, I just think as we go more and more into the future, people are less equipped to do that. So I think that's that. I think you're the greatest team of all time, and you might be stuck there, which makes it all the more impressive, the edge I sensed coming off that field yesterday, the chip on their shoulder. Coming off that field, I want to hit on that right after Murray's 90-second update. The latest on Kyrie Irving after his blow-up. I don't think that's too strong, is it? The blow-up Saturday night in Orlando, is that fair? Certainly was a blow-up on the floor. Off the floor, a little bit of a tirade, diatribe. Guess where Kyrie is tonight? Details here with Murray. Promise right back to your calls and reaction right after.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.